Alright, so welcome to the Amish Voice conference call. I'll pray and then we'll get started on our discussion about baptism. Good evening, Father. Thank you for the time together and for the friends on the phone ready to discuss your word, and help us to always seek what your word says, no matter what we've been taught or what we know, that we'll all agree that what you say is true, that we'll find unity in your spirit, love you more, and we'll love you more and grow nearer to you, and we'll learn what it really means to be baptized as you intended it to be. So may we follow Jesus fully and live fully for you and love you more and thank you for how much. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight the planned topic is baptism. I'll give the phone number now at the beginning if you want to listen to this later or have somebody else listen to it. They can dial in by calling 641-715-3800. That's 641-715-3800 and enter PIN number 89752. Remember, if you have background noise, you can press 4-star to mute yourself and press it again to unmute yourself. And if we mute you, you can press 5-star if you want to say something or you have a question. So the topics, right now we're going through our ABC Bible study at the Plowman's Academy. And so you can sign up for those classes by contacting us, or those correspondence courses that are free. Then next month, the planned topic in November is our J topic, which is Jesus. So what does the Bible say about Jesus? And then in December, about the Lord's Supper. So you can be thinking about those. And tonight, baptism. It's clear that there's baptism in the Bible, but it means different things to different people and different churches and different groups baptized different ways, and some think their way is the best way or the only right way, and it's just like a lot of things that God sometimes intends to unify us. We take it and make it a source of division. So one day we'll all agree on what baptism is. But you know, some people sprinkle and some pour and some immerse and some say it doesn't matter. Some say you have to go under or get sprinkled 3 times. Some say 1. Some go forward, some go backwards. Seems like we've complicated the whole process. So we'll start with what is baptism biblically? What is it? Why do people get baptized? What does it mean? Well, anybody have any ideas? Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I understand it to be an outward symbol of what's happened on the inside, public.
Yeah, that's a common thing we hear. And it's true. What does it? Anybody have any other thoughts, anything to add to that? Does baptism do anything for us? Does it help us grow closer to God? Does it? Some churches say it, you get grace through baptism. Some even say it forgives your sin or saves us. What does the Bible say it does?
This is Andy.
Hi, Andy.
I think it very plainly teaches that is a picture of Jesus and what he did for us. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. Scripture plainly tells us, like as he was buried, we also are buried in the likeness and the death and the resurrection, the walk in newness of life.
Yeah. Good, yeah, it's following Jesus, and Jesus was buried, died and buried, and rose again for us. So what does it mean if we follow him in baptism? What is there a cost to it? Does it mean anything? In the early church, in the book of Acts, if somebody was baptized, it could have meant death. If you publicly state that you're going to follow Jesus when Christianity was illegal, it wasn't always an easy thing to do. And then when Christianity became more popular, or as it is now, sometimes it's just something we do on our own, as just because we're supposed to, or it's not a big deal to some people. So how serious should we take baptism? Is it just something we're supposed to do, or does it mean a changed life?
Well, I think that every command that Jesus gave is important. And I believe that baptism is important, an important step for us to take in order for us to grow spiritually and to become mature, because we are to believe and then be baptized.
Right. Yeah, in the Bible, people believed, and the baptism followed the belief. What about some of the people that say baptism saves you? The verses that say, believe and be baptized, and you will be saved. Does baptism save us?
I think there's a verse in Corinthians that says something about baptism does now save us. But I think that that's not applying. I don't remember exactly how it is, but I know that some people argue from that vintage point. I think we know that we are saved because of what Jesus did. Faith, if we confess and believe in our hearts, then we are saved. But we want to go on to maturity and obedience through baptism and everything that the Scripture commands us.
Yeah, right. I think the verse you were referring to is 1 Peter 3:21.
Maybe. Okay.
Where it says, the like figure whereunto mm-hmm. even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, some people do use that to say that it saves us. But even there it says it doesn't put away our sins, the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience toward God, because we state that we're going to follow Him. We know that when we participate in baptism, it means that we're going to follow Him and put away the world. In the early church, sometimes they would say that they renounced Satan, sin, and the world before they got baptized. Sometimes they would fast before they got baptized. But now I've talked to people, some people that were being baptized that day, and say, why are you being baptized? And they didn't know. They were told they were supposed to. And what the pastor said they should do. And it didn't mean as much to some people now as it did then.
I think that I was taught that baptism meant that I joined the church, and when I joined the church, then I was okay. It was more joining the church than making my confession that I am going to identify my life with Jesus Christ, and I'm going to become buried in baptism and rise to newness of life and make Him Lord of my life.
Yeah, so it sounds like you understand what I understand the biblical baptism to be, is you're saying, just like we're baptized, we're buried with Jesus, meaning we're dying to the world, our old life is over,
right?
And now we're raised with Him, and now we have a new life and a new master, a new nature, and we're going to live for Him from now on, and everything of the old world is behind us and gone and dead. And that
right.
seems what baptism is in the Bible. So then what about when some people say, in order to join a church, you need to be baptized. Or people get baptized in order to join a church. There's a few different... Go ahead.
This is Andy again. I don't know of many, but I know in the church I've pastored in the past, people got saved. I encouraged them to be baptized. And then after that, told them, now, you seek God's will as to what church you ought to join and where you want to serve. I never required membership to baptize them. I think that's wrong. And I know there's a lot of churches that do it, and I've argued with some pastors over it. But I will say, most of the time, if you're responsible for that person's salvation, they will automatically want to follow with you. But I think the Bible clearly teaches by the Ethiopian eunuch that when he's saved, the next step is baptism, and as a picture, and that's what it is, both him and it wasn't Peter, I can't say his name now, went down into the water and was baptized, and both of them went on their way rejoicing. It doesn't say both, but I think that both went on their way rejoicing.
Yeah, Philip.
And that's the form. Okay.
Yeah, and it's, you can see that with Paul and the jailer and his family, and in the Bible it seems baptism was pretty quickly after they believed in Jesus. But to them, believing in Jesus meant something too. It wasn't just something they professed with their mouth, but it was a life that they were going to live. And so the two went together. They trusted in Jesus. Jesus changed them. Why put it off? Go and show the world that you're going to live for him now. Does it have to be a public thing? I mean, sometimes you hear that it's a public profession of your inward faith. But the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized alone in the wilderness.
Let me, if I may, correct that statement. I think the Bible tells us, where two are assembled in my name, there I am with thee, with them always. And I believe there was three people. I don't know how many people it takes to make it public, but I think with the witness of Jesus, the baptizer and the baptizee, that would constitute a public. Thank you.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was, but Philip could have easily said, well, go back to your hometown, let's go back to Jerusalem, and we'll put you in front of the church, and there'll be hundreds or thousands there. So what about today? What if somebody wants to get baptized alone with just a few people? Would you say that's okay, or what did you say, it's better to get baptized in front of the church?
I don't think it's an issue whether it's in front of an audience or if it's a little two-group or a ten-group. I don't think that's the point.
Yeah, I think it's important to know the point, to understand what baptism is and to mean it, and that's what God looks at our hearts.
Right.
So what about infant baptism? Why are some churches baptize babies? Most of the reformers believed in infant baptism. A lot of, the Anabaptists sometimes were drowned, put to death, because they were baptized as adults, because they didn't think the infant baptism was biblical. So, but still today, some groups baptize babies, Catholics, Lutherans, and some other ones. Why do they do that, or is that okay?
The value of tradition.
Yeah. So why do they do that? It doesn't mean anything to God?
I don't think I'm in authority to say whether it does or doesn't, but I don't understand the scripture to teach that way.
The answer is believe and then be baptized. If, like, infants don't believe yet, could be something they'd have to read. I know Lydia and I have been baptized a couple of times.
Yeah. And what did, when the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? What did Philip answer him?
He believed. If he believed, he could be baptized.
Right. He said, if you believe, you can.
Yeah.
And so that seems to be the qualification that God put on baptism, is to believe.
Right.
So,
does it matter how many times one is baptized?
Well, what if someone is baptized as a baby and then gets older, becomes a believer? Do you think that person should be rebaptized?
I mean, that if he was, but if I wouldn't be fired.
What if
is there any
baptized?
Scripture against multiple baptisms?
Yeah, what was that?
Is there any scripture against multiple baptism? Say you were baptized as a baby, maybe you were baptized into a church, and then maybe later you get baptized on your confession. Some people have a problem with that.
Yeah, I don't think there's anywhere in the Bible where somebody gets baptized more than once. Water baptism, but I know today there's churches that you have to be baptized one time backwards. And then if you go to another church and says, we baptize three times forward, they want you to get rebaptized. Or say your first baptism count, and you have to be baptized a different way. What do you think about that? If you would be required, if you got baptized as a believer, went to a different church and they wanted you to get baptized again, would you do it just to join a church?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't be baptized to please man. And I would be baptized with conviction and unto the Lord.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know that when a person is an infant or if they are supposedly baptized before they're a believer, if it's even in the book of God, if it's even considered baptism. I know that I had water poured on my head in a certain denomination, but Christ's sacrifice and what he did on the cross for me was not real to me. And when that became real to me, I was baptized, and I knew what I was doing, and I knew that I was giving the devil a black eye, and he couldn't come in and saved anymore, because that was my public confession that I was and I am going to live my life for Jesus.
Thanks, Mia.
Russell has something he wants to say, so he talks kind of softly, but just listen.
A friend of ours in the Philippines, a fellow missionary, he said, well, one guy kept asking how you baptize, and he said, usually in water.
Yeah.
This is Andy.
Hi, Andy.
On the rebaptism, at the age of 16, I followed the church's ordinances, and I've said my story before. I will just do a short story of it. I went forward in a revival meeting wanting to know for sure if I died I'd go to heaven. And the preacher said, that's good. Go sit on the bench over there. I did. And then they had me go to a class. In the class, they come to a portion that I disagreed with and had a problem with. And I said, I really don't believe that way. They said, oh, you will someday. And just passed it on through. They then poured water on my head and said I was a church member. And by the way, the preacher, after the service was over with, made this comment. He said, this man and these three young men, there was two boys younger than me, said these three young men came to join the church. That's not what I came for. That's not what I told him. I told him I wanted to know I was going to go to heaven. And I lived in that false pretense for 15 years before I found out what is be saved. I became an alcoholic during those 15 years, and a lot of things that I wish would have never happened in my life, and had somebody shown me what it means to be saved and how to go to heaven, which is very simple and very plain, but if somebody doesn't explain it, it becomes very complicated. The simplest form is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nobody brought that to my mind. I knew the verse. I could quote it. I could quote it in English. I could quote it in German. But I did not know what it meant. I still looked at the world as a scale and a balance. If my good outdid my bad, I went to heaven. And I got to the place where I knew that wasn't true because I couldn't please myself. And it wasn't until somebody took the time to explain to me and I understood it was my faith in Christ that saved me. Nothing of my own, nothing that I did. And, of course, I then realized that's when I got saved. What happened before, I went into the church as a sinner. I got water poured on me. I went out of the church in the same condition I went in. The other place, I got saved. The only difference was I was now a saved sinner, and I got baptized, and that is a rebaptism. The first baptism, I didn't consider to even being a baptism. because the Bible in the original is very plain. It says to dip, plunge, or immerse. And I'm sorry, sprinkling doesn't qualify there. Pouring doesn't qualify. The only thing that qualifies is exactly what it says. And it's a problem with the translators. They transliterated a word that meant, that was in the Greek, was baptizo, and they changed it to baptism, which is not the meaning. If they had the meaning that it said to immerse or to dip or to plunge is what the word would have been. And I guess I take a little too much time, but that covers both aspects. That covers the aspect of rebaptism. If you weren't saved when you were baptized, you're not baptized. That's, you only baptize believers.
Very good.
He's pretty firm. Wonder if he's that firm on wearing a covering and nonconformity and resistance.
Yeah, so someone said before that it's a matter of the heart whether you get rebaptized or not. So what if somebody got baptized by sprinkling or pouring, and to them it was a matter of the heart, and they decided they were going to follow Jesus? Would you still think that even if they, to them, it was a biblical baptism and they did it for the right reason, that they should get rebaptized?
Are you asking me?
Anybody.
Yes, I would definitely. If their conversion was after their baptism, absolutely.
What if it was before the baptism and they went to a church that sprinkled or poured?
I would ask him a simple question, and I've had that in the church that I pastored. I didn't force people to be baptized. Normally, the Holy Spirit convicted people of it. People can attend my church where I pastor. They can have part of communion as long as they admit and testify to the fact that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Beyond that, I have no right to question them. The Holy Spirit is the one that questions. And I have had many people, they come forward for baptism once they understood what baptism is and what it meant and what it's a picture of. Pouring one water on one's head does not picture death to oneself. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. But that has to be what can I say, a conviction of the person that is there.
Yeah, and there's a lot in the Bible that shows that it does seem. I mean, you can't. It's hard to be buried with Christ in baptism and not go under the water.
Thank you. That's right.
And when Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and it seems like that's how the Bible teaches. But some people also have a false idea of what baptism is not. I mean, what baptism. It doesn't mean that you're perfect, or that your life's all fixed now. It doesn't mean that baptism doesn't make you a better person or make God love you anymore. And baptism doesn't save you. So some people get baptized and think it's gonna fix their problems or forgive their sin. But like has been discussed here, it doesn't do those things. Baptism shows that we've been changed by God and we're gonna follow Him fully. So what are can you think of any wrong reasons why not to be baptized? Somebody says, I don't want to be baptized, and they are true believers. What would keep them from being baptized? I have a little list here I can read to you of some people. Don't know if this is true or not, but somebody said, I don't want people to see me with my hair messed up or without makeup. One says, I'm afraid of water. I was already baptized as a child. I'm afraid to be in front of people. I don't feel ready yet. I'm not good enough. Oh. Don't think we have to feel good enough to be baptized.
I would like to give one little story, and it happens to be my grandson, and that's why I know him well in many aspects. But he has a little bit of autism and so forth. He's very sensitive. He cannot stand rain. He cannot go out in the rain. It literally drives him nuts, so to speak. He will not take a shower. He takes a bath, but he will not take a shower because he can't stand that feeling and that sensitivity. And he is deathly afraid of water. Basically, he really is. Nobody ever pushed him. Nobody ever talked to him. Nothing. But yet, at the age of 14, he came forward and said, I want to be baptized. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit talked to him. And he had baptism, and he mentioned later on, he says, I'm sure glad I did that.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Did it change anything of his fear of water?
I don't think it changed him that much on the fear of water, but I have noticed since then that he has overcome that, that he's changed and he's more open. He is more, has more communication. He's more active with the other people, with those around him. I do think it had changed him in that manner. As far as going into the rain and being in the rain, I haven't seen that. I haven't observed that. Maybe one of these days I'll see him in the rain. I don't know, but up until now I've never seen him in the rain.
I like the overcomer aspect of that. I would like to hear the testimony that he can even be in rain because we are overcomers. And he truly did the symbol that baptism is about, that, you know, to die with Christ. Even, you know, if he sat there, the cost of baptism was higher for him, and he did it anyway. That is commendable.
Yep.
In it, I would think that he would sense a freedom, and I think you're sharing somewhat of a freedom. And as life goes on, we grow into more of a freedom, and we live our Christian life in the strength of Jesus and not our own. And through him, we can obtain victories and be overcomers, where in the flesh we can strive and struggle and try all our worth and not make it, but through Christ, that strength, that's the power.
There's one thing for sure. When he come forward and wanted to be baptized, it was a great surprise to his mother and father and to his grandma and me. I mean, we really were surprised by it. And the fact that none of us had coerced him, none of us had said, you must do this to be saved. He knew he was saved, and that was not why he did it. He did it because he loved Jesus and wanted to obey him. Basically, that was the bottom line of it, and that's the way I think it should be with everybody. I don't think people should be coerced to be baptized. I think they should be told the truth about it. I think they should be told that's the first thing they do for following the Lord. The Lord gives us steps. He reveals different things to us, the little, and then we respond to that information, and then he gives us more information. That's what he did with me. He took alcohol away from me the day I was saved, even though I was an alcoholic. But he didn't take cigarettes away from me the same way. But it took more to take the cigarettes away from me than it did the alcohol. And I'll just be frank with you. I quit cigarettes in 1971. To this day, I will still at times dream I'm smoking a cigarette, get mad at myself, and wake up and realize it was only a dream. But that's how hard the nicotine and how much effect it has on the body. Awake, I don't want a cigarette. I never crave a cigarette when I'm awake. Matter of fact, I think they stink. I abhor it. But in my dreams, I have dreamt as late as this year, I've had a dream. I'm 74 years old, and here I'm still dreaming about smoking a cigarette. How crazy. It just goes to show the power of God that keeps you from doing it.
Do you feel you can come over, be an overcomer in that area, in the dreams as well?
I have no idea.
Prayer, ask the Lord to take it. Be the Lord over that.
The dreams are part of humanity, may I say. John R. Rice, had a sister, great evangelist, and I respected the man very highly. He had to go under the knife and put under with drugs and so forth. First thing he said when he woke up, what did I say when I was out? What did I say when I was coming to? Did I do anything to harm the testimony of the Lord? And that was his question. When we are asleep, and I think most of us will agree, we don't necessarily have control of our dreams. I realize that our mental attitude changes towards things, but if there is something, if you are afraid of something in your dreams, those follow you. I have a childhood dream that I dreamt, I don't know how many times as a childhood, that is, you know, a crazy dream, but it's a crazy dream. I'll tell you what it is. I had to walk to school through the field. And there was in my dream, as I walked through these fields to school, there was a bull in one of those fields. And I'd always wait until he was at the other end of the field, and I'd start across there. And he would take off and go and get a great big clay tile over his horns and come after me. And I always just got over the fence before I got there. Why in the world did I dream that? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not afraid of bulls. It's just something happened. So to answer your question, will I ever stop dreaming about cigarettes? I don't know. I have no idea.
That's off topic, but I believe that the Lord is the Lord of our dreams as well. There's a spiritual aspect that I believe, and I have had those dreams myself, and through prayer, they stop. They don't come anymore because I gave them to Jesus and I asked him to help me, and he gave me a dream of where I was an overcomer. And every time that this, it wasn't the bull in my case, but every time this satanic thing that caused me the fear came, I said, Jesus. And every time I said, Jesus, this is in my dream, my enemy got smaller and I got stronger. And I was weak, like yellow. And every time I said, Jesus, I had more victory, and that was the first time that I had victory that way, and it was the last time I had bad dreams. So it's taking that away from me and showing me a life of victory.
I'm sorry, I got off the subject, and I'm sorry. Let's get back to baptism.
I'll give the phone number again. If somebody wants to call in later, listen to this recording. The phone number is 641-715-3800. 641-715-3800. And the PIN number 89752. And thanks for joining us. And we plan on having these conference calls the first Sunday night of each month. So the next one is November 1st. The topic is planned to be about Jesus Christ. And December 6th, about the Lord's Supper. Tonight, about baptism. And you mentioned, Andy mentioned John Rice. I have a quote by him that we've already discussed what he said. God's people should be baptized because God commanded it, not because some church requires it. And that's a good reason to be baptized, because God said it.
Pretty good comment.
Yeah, it's Matthew 28, 19 and 20 is probably one of the most famous verses about baptism, where Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. So
do you take that the way, I'm sorry, do you take that the way as I do? Go teach and baptize, and teach them to go teach and baptize.
Yeah, a lot of people just baptize without teaching them. They don't teach them to observe all things that Jesus has commanded us. But Jesus said, don't just baptize them, but teach them to do what I said, too.
Yeah.
Because you're not a follower of Jesus if you don't walk as he walked. 1 John 2:6 says, if you say you abide in him, you ought to walk even as Jesus walked.
Yep.
And so, yeah, and humans make up all kinds of strange things, trying to get our legalism in and doing things the way we think we should do it, and so we can say other people are wrong and we're right. Just like this verse, I know some churches that say you have to be baptized, go under three times, because it says baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And other people say, but Acts says be baptized in the name of Jesus, so you can only go under once. And they fight about those things. But the point is to follow Jesus. To say that you're... Can you imagine being in the Middle East now, being in Saudi Arabia, becoming a Christian, and then being baptized, what that would mean to you, knowing there could be government officials in your church watching you, that you say you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to get baptized and leave away, you're going to turn away from Islam and follow Jesus. And the next, as soon as church is over, you could be arrested. It means
for what we just had happen in America. Ask if he's a Christian and shot dead.
Yeah, when there's persecution around, people take baptism more seriously. Fan take Christianity in general more seriously.
Yep.
That's it's easier to tell people you're not a Christian if your heart hasn't been changed, then it's more concerned to live for him if you have been changed. And it seems like it's that way in a lot of the world now. And in America, it's getting more that way. If you knew you were going to be killed, would you still be baptized? Would you still publicly say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus and turn away from my old religion and my own ways? Hopefully we would.
There is no other way.
All right.
Hey, I would have known in the beginning, but do you find people disputing, saying, oh, does the mode really matter? Does it really matter? Because right now we've got situations in our community where there's beachy ministers that have had a meeting and because of a young 24-year-old boy got saved out of a wild, drunken, alcohol, drug lifestyle. And interestingly enough, he started going to this beachy church. And then he said, you know, the Lord is convicting me that I need to be immersed. And he presented this to his leaders, and the bishop says, we absolutely will not do it. And there was quite a stirring from this young man. He didn't mean any evil about it, but he said, I want to obey. God is calling me to this. And then now some people are saying, well, it doesn't matter what mode, you know, sprinkling or immersion, it doesn't matter. I don't know. Is that a common thing out there?
Well, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but...
Okay, I got on about 50 minutes ago.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, the conclusion that we came up with was pretty much the Bible says that immersion is the Bible way. That's how people were baptized in the Bible. But there's an early church document called the Didache, meaning the teaching, and they said the best way to get baptized is in living water, meaning running water, a river, and to be immersed. But they said if you don't have running water, then use cold water. If you don't have cold water, use hot water. And then they said if you don't have much water, if you only have a little bit of water, you don't have enough to immerse somebody, then you can just pour it over their head.
Mm-hmm.
If you're out in the desert and you don't have a choice, you can pour sand on their head. Symbolize it.
Yeah.
But the point that we... Biblically is, if you have water, the biblical way is to be immersed. And it seems like, especially if somebody's convicted by it from the scriptures and said, the biblical way that I see is immersion, I would like to be baptized the biblical way, that would be good, you know, to follow what you believe.
There seems to be a lot of opposition around this doctrine because of its symbolism and the picture of it and what it types and what it shadows. And, you know, this young man, I'm gathering with him now on a regular weekly basis to do Bible study with him, and his heart is so soft and so tender towards God, and he just desires to follow him, and he's beginning to realize that his leaders are they're opposing the truth because he knows God spoke to him, and they won't receive what God spoke to him. And now he's like, Lord, I thought you led me to this church, but now it's becoming whatever. I mean, he ended up going to another Mennonite church where they immersed him, and even though he's now going back to that beachy church at the present, It's really stirred and troubled the waters for different people. And one of the other bishops, he confessed that the Amish will lose respect for them if they start to immerse. Well, yeah. Whose approval do you want, God or man? You know, who's more real to you, God or man? Anyway, so it's been interesting, and I myself was convicted of being immersed after I was only sprinkled in the Amish. But he's growing. His heart is to obey. That's why I was, when I heard of his faith, I said I was so blessed and refreshed because I knew God spoke to him. And yet these other voices that are around the community saying, it doesn't really matter. They have this careless attitude. That bothers me more than anything.
Yeah,
and you look up the word baptizo, it just doesn't mean to pour a few sprinkles on you. And it seems like it's something the devil has made a point of opposition.
Yeah. And yet that's how a lot of people want to follow Jesus. They just want to be sprinkled with a little bit of Jesus. They don't want to go all the way under and follow him all the way. And so they're fine staying a little wet, a little dry, and loving God and the world.
Yeah.
But that's what, the Bible teaches you, if you're going to follow him, you put your hand to the plow and you don't look back.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want half-hearted followers, double-minded. He wants, you follow him, you give up everything and you go his way and you die to sin and self and the world and Satan and you don't look back.
Right. Yeah.
That's when our young people want to do what's right because they're convicted of the word, isn't that the powerful? Isn't that the thing to stand on and make our decisions rather than traditions of man?
Yeah, that's what I say. And that's why it was hard for me to comprehend that this young Amish or Apache Amish preacher would just stand there deliberately and refuse and try to gather up support to come against. It's just, you know, I don't know. It's like, what are you promoting? What are you trying to preserve?
Traditions.
To declare the truth or to keep the approval of man that's around you? And I don't know.
Yeah, and that's what happened in the.
I was just going to say something else that I encountered when I was rebaptized after I really knew what it meant to be baptized was I was exposed to people that were saying, you when you're baptized, you have to say you're baptized in the name of Jesus. And then others said, no, it has to be said you're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And there was quite a division there. And I, in my later teens, the Lord just gave me wisdom. That has nothing to do with my baptism. And so I said, when you baptize me, just say, you baptize me in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father and Holy Ghost, and then you can argue over it, because this has to do with the condition of my heart. This does not have to do with the words that are spoken, and making division, you know, with the words there. So that worked good for me in that case.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's a doctrine out there, that it's Jesus only, as in as far as whether there's a Trinity or not. Because we had a Pentecostal preacher working for us that kept on saying, we baptize another one in Jesus' name and baptize another one in Jesus' name. And I'm like, okay, I get tired of this. Well, what are you saying? What do you mean? And he said, well, you baptize in Jesus' name. Well, that's not what the word says. The word says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And Kevin said, no. And he kept on me. And, you know, something inside of me was crying out, I want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. This is not what I believe, but I want to know the truth. And I don't make this a point of division, but, you know, I would agree that they are right in that they baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as in Acts 2:38. But I don't think people should divide over that because, I came to that conviction after a couple of weeks of fighting him and saying, no, it's not right. One night the Lord told this Pentecostal preacher, he said, you need to shut up. Stop it. quit trying to tell Paul what this truth is. You need to stop it. And the next day, the Lord split it wide open, what he was trying to say. And so it really blessed me. And, you know, it may not agree with everybody that's on the line, but what I saw was that God became flesh, and the baptism in Jesus' name, Peter did it, Paul did it, all the early church did it. Man moved away from it later on in life, but that was the practice. And so I would not divide people over who baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost versus baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though Peter, Paul, and Philip and all those did that. But I would tend to say, you know, hey, that if you think about it, when Jesus said, in the name of, you know, the Father is not a name, Son is not a name, the Holy Spirit is not a name, but in that name, the name was Jesus. Jesus is what died. Jesus is what took my sins, and he's the one who died and was buried. God didn't die. The Holy Spirit didn't die. Jesus. And the one thing that I would kind of share with, I don't know who was talking about the thing of doesn't matter whose name was, I've asked people, so if it doesn't matter whose name, how about using Muhammad's name, you know? I don't think it's a matter of going by the text, but it really blessed me to see what it consisted of, to see that it was about being identified with the man called Christ. Yeah, that's whatever.
When we do something in the name of Jesus, when we study and when we pray in the name of Jesus, for me to say, and I ask this in the name of Jesus, when I'm not asking according to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, or if I'm not asking with his characteristics, then I'm not praying in the name of Jesus, no matter the words that I say. Because something, to do something in the name of Jesus means to have his character and have his authority. It means that he gives us the power of attorney, that we have the legal, spiritually legal right to use that name. So it's, you know, that name of Jesus is so precious, and it's just, but I just, when
yeah.
I was,
yeah.
I just, like, it was useless to argue over that. And it's a condition of the heart, the whole thing is. So
there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, when people challenge me with that, I just say, you know, the main thing is to understand that God became a man, and he called, and that man was the man Christ Jesus, the three persons in one God, Jesus Christ. And then when my wife, I told my wife, if you just do this because I did it, then it'll be a dead work for you. But she began to study it and open her heart up to the Lord, and then she looked up this word baptism, and it pointed out that whosoever name you take to identify with in baptism, you connect yourself, unite yourself with that person. So I am connecting and uniting myself to Christ as I step into the water, into the uniting with him in the likeness of his death, being raised up in the resurrection. And so that to me is what really, that really spoke to me too, is, you know, I don't take the name of better whoever. I take the name of the one whom I'm closely associated and being united to. But yeah, it can be a source of contention, but I
I think you can say all the right contentious matter and make it wrong.
Right.
The heart being contentious.
Right. Yep. It's more important that the revelation that like Jesus or that Peter had, thou art the Christ, you know, the Son of the living God.
Yeah, because there's a difference between following the conviction of the Holy Spirit as we're living by the Bible, and following a tradition of men because that's the way we do things.
Yeah.
I've said I've seen churches where I've been where they fight over you have to be baptized, you have to go under the water 3 times because
uh-huh.
it says in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And other people say, no, you can, once that's enough. That's fine too. And but there's people on both sides that won't accept.
Yeah.
And like the other situation, it should be clear that it's the heart that matters. If you go, if you're immersed, you want to follow Jesus, I don't think he's going to reject somebody because they went under once instead of 3 times or 3 times instead of once.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
That's what the Anabaptists, the early Anabaptists did. They went to the Bible and said, we need believer's baptism. That's what the Bible says. It's not good enough to be baptized as an infant or to do it as a child when I didn't know what I was doing. And so, and they faced a lot of opposition and persecution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to make sure that we're looking to the Bible first and following what God says, making sure that we're not just doing things because that's how our church does it or that's the way we've always done it. But to see what Jesus says, stand upon his word, and keep going forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So any other comments or anything before we close? Thanks.
Well, the tradition of man has muddied the waters or has just damaged so much of the Christian light. God wants a relationship and a true heart, worship him in spirit. The Christians, our traditions, neither right or wrong, but when they come in between, when they are lifted higher than the word, we have to keep this because of the fear of man and things like that just ruin a beautiful thing that God has made and wants to have as a unified body, and tradition just gets in the way.
Yeah. Jesus said you make the word of God of no effect because of your tradition. And we still do that today. We still haven't learned. But...
Yep.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Next time, November 1st, the topic, Jesus Christ, what he means, what the Bible says, what he means to us. December 6th, the Lord's Supper.
Sounds real good. Do we have more than an hour?
Yeah, you can stay on and talk longer. Recording.
Yep.
First Sunday night of every month at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Phone number to listen to the recordings, again, is 641-715-3800. And PIN number 89752. So, yeah, Mr. Paul Helmuth, would you close in prayer?
Yes. Father in heaven, we pause at the close of this discussion to reflect upon the things that we've heard. We're grateful for every blessing, every spiritual blessing in Christ that we have, that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us, every promise that is ours when we cash in on it, when we come before you with humble hearts, acknowledging who you are and where you want to take us. Our prayer is that you would continue to inspire us by the Holy Spirit through your word and help us to be humble, obedient children in these days. As darkness deepens, I pray that the light would grow brighter through our lives, that as you call us to be the light of the world, help us to make this calling and election sure in the final days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, and some dark and cold, and there is a spirit.